Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. You're listening to The Dork Forest. You know the websites, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you like a determiner. JackieCation.com has everything. Both of my podcasts, all of the stand-up stuff, the new album, links to YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. But so, I think, does dorkforest.com, where you can look at old videos of different shows. Anyway, if you want to support the show, tell people about the show, review it on iTunes, thumbs it up on Pandora or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, I appreciate that. You can donate. You can donate monthly. PayPal lets you do that. You can also do my Venmo if you like. It's at Jackie Cation absolutely everywhere. And my email address is jackie@jackiecation.com. And that's what the PayPal is. The PayPal link is on jackiecation.com and dorkforest.com. And go to any of them. Thanks for listening. There's merch. There's stand-up. There's tour guide. You know, you can find out where I'm touring. This is getting long, so let's get into the show.
Hi, Jackie Cation lying down with the tail end of a cold and Valerie Tossie.
I logged on, right? And it looked like you were taking a nap.
Oh, you are not wrong. I have two more shows tonight. I do not have COVID. I can't tell you how much I've never had COVID and I don't want COVID. But this cold, I haven't had a cold in 3 years. I wasn't good at it prior to the 3 years ago. And it turns out I also have some sort of altitude sickness in addition to it. So, Valerie, welcome back to the program. You have a new album.
I do.
With Blonde Medicine, with Dominic Del Bene and the good people at Blonde Medicine. It is called Beach Trash. And I can't wait to listen to it, quite honestly. It's been out for a little bit, right?
Yeah, it came out January 22nd.
Okay, so just this year, 2022.
Yeah.
And it's your first album?
It is.
And you are Valerie Tossie, V-A-L-E-R-I-E underscore T-O-S-I, correct?
Nailed it, yeah.
Nailed it in one. And we were going to go see Heart after your last Dork Forest, which was all about live programming. And then I went and saw Heart, accidentally bought 6 tickets.
Oh my God. I can't
to the Hollywood Bowl. That. Yeah. I lit a great deal of money on fire is what I'm saying. Cause it didn't happen. It was kind of great. Andy loves Heart. I don't mind Heart. I don't know anything about, I mean, I do. I knew the songs once they started singing them.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think
know.
You said it was your first concert too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my first ever concert. And so we talked about concerts at your last Dork Forest, which was about 3 or 4 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
And you're back. Let's start, because you probably have more concerts to dork out about. Do you want to start with your other dorkdom, which was like, wow, this is a cry for help. Let's talk about it.
We're already on concert mode. I feel like we can touch those real quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's knock it out. Let's do
All
it.
All right. Well, it's funny because I looked up when we recorded and it was in the tail end of 2019, which,
oh my God.
Only we knew.
Wow.
And so the irony is that I don't have too many concerts to update you on because, well, something
Zoom.
Happened. Yeah.
Did you try and do any sort of Zoom concerts?
I did. I have two of them that I put on here because of that. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, I'm glad we're starting with concerts then, because what the hell? How did it happen? How could it be?
So I have two Zoom concerts that I went to and two live ones, and then I also did the worst concert I've ever been to. So that'll be fun.
That will be fun.
So the two that I did over Zoom, one of them was Ingrid Michaelson, and I've seen her live a few times. She's wonderful. She's a singer-songwriter. And she does like every year she does a holiday hop, but and she normally does it in New York, but obviously because of COVID, she did it over Zoom, and she got really emotional, and like everybody kind of that was on it was really emotional because obviously everybody was going through the bullshit of the last couple of years and towards the beginning because this was in 2020.
Okay.
And it was very bittersweet. But still,
was it Christmas of 2020?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is pre-vax, deep lockdown.
Yeah.
And they did it over the Zoom or some sort of internet thing?
Yeah, it was streaming. And she was at home, and then it would kind of cut to like some other people that were hopping on from wherever they were.
Yeah.
And but it was still like, I don't know, it was very healing in a way because, you know, it was like still feeling like you were part of something even though we were all so far away and isolated.
That is one of the greatest things about Zoom. Is that it really does feel like you are part of something. It does have a sense of community that we were all missing because we were so alone, you know?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I still do Zoom shows. I'm like, I can do shows from my pajamas with no makeup on in my own house.
Yeah, and wearing sweatpants right now. Yeah.
And probably make more money than if I was doing a live show.
Yeah. Yeah. I may reconsider my road work.
Truly.
So, what was her name? Ingrid?
Ingrid Michaelson. Yeah.
And how did she do it? Did they pre-record things separately and then somebody mixed it?
I think there was a few that were pre-recorded that they sent in, but hers was live, which was really cool.
That is really cool. She just did solo stuff.
Yeah.
And how long was the concert and how many people went and...
There was a lot, I think, especially at that time, because everybody was so desperate for stuff. So I'm trying to think of how, I think it was probably about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, somewhere around
there.
Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah. That's the other thing about Zoom shows is that they're like a live concert is 3 to 5 hours.
Yeah. With openers and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
the best part, you're at home, you get a seat.
Right. You get a seat. You can see everything. You can, if you have Chromecast, you can throw it to the big TV.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Did you meet other fans at all? Could you see the other fans?
No, this one, they had it where you kind of just, you got a link and you were it like watching the feed, like the live stream, but you couldn't see other people. It wasn't really, I guess, technically over Zoom. I'm not sure what they were using to do it, but it was more like a Twitch type of scenario where like you can, you know what I mean?
You could tappity tap.
Yeah.
If you wanted, like YouTube or Twitch. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I did two of them. I did that one. And then I did Tom Petty. It would have been his 70th birthday. And so it was his like birthday show to honor him. And it was a lot of artists that were covering Tom Petty songs.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. I mean, there were so many people on it. Like Stevie Nicks read this like really beautiful letter. And Chris Stapleton did a really amazing cover. There was Lucinda Williams, the Foo Fighters. Like it was really cool.
Wow. That is huge. When was that? Was that in deep lockdown too?
Yeah, that was... I believe that was also 2020. I'm trying to remember when his birthday was, but it was the same thing. And it was deep lockdown, but it was very good.
Yeah, that is neat too. And was it another streaming thing where all you could do was sort of comment on it and kind of hang out? Yeah.
This one you couldn't even comment. It was like it was just streaming, but it was really great.
And was it being filmed live? Did you have a sense that it was live?
Yeah, I think it was the same thing where there was people that were live and then some people that were pre-recorded. But it's really neat to see some of these artists kind of stripped down like that, where it feels like you're in their own living room and you're getting like a private concert. It's really neat.
The thing is because you would think, well, I could just watch an old concert on TV. And you're like, no, it's different than that.
Mm-hmm.
It really did feel different than that. It didn't feel like a pre-recorded concert from, you know, on PBS that they were like, this is honoring Tom Petty. You're like, no, we are all live. Her cat just walked by.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, because they're also all like, they're not on a stage. You know what I mean? They're all at home and like in their living rooms and just sitting there like, with an acoustic guitar, and it's very, very boiled down. And like, it's, you really get to hear how incredible a lot of these artists are because you're not hearing it overproduced. You're just hearing literally them.
Yeah. Them just noodling around on their guitar.
Yeah.
And then playing. So, I mean, as hard as that year was and how sad it was for how many people passed away and everything, it did bring us so much closer together. in different weird ways.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Did you end up watching it? Could you do any kind of sort of streaming thing and watch it with friends?
I mean, I guess you could theoretically, like, knowing that other people were watching it, but it's not like you weren't like seeing them watch it. Do you know what I mean? So yeah.
You didn't know that anybody else was watching it.
No. I had like one person kind of aside from my boyfriend, I had like one person in kind of my bubble that I did see. And so she came over because she lived alone. And so she would come over and we would watch it.
And she was just in your pod, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the three of you just kind of watched it together.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
Oh, that's neat. That's, you know, we did so many things where we played games and there was like a Zoom setup and then we all had our laptops. Mm-hmm. And then there was like another Zoom that pointed down on a board game. You know, like there were these things to create a sense of, you know, hang, you know?
Yeah.
We did it, you know, we still do it every Tuesday, not as much because we can see each other now, right?
Yeah.
But that is awesome. And do you think that these concerts will be recorded and released at all?
I think some of the Tom Petty one, I think might have made it into, I'm trying to remember if it made it into the documentary because his, they just did an anniversary release of his solo album Wildflowers. That's one of my favorite albums of all time. And, in the documentary, I'm trying to remember, I think they had pieces of it at the beginning of the documentary, which when I saw it in the theater and, I bawled my eyes out. I also cried during the birthday show too, because, you know, cause it's already the heaviness of it being the peak of the pandemic pre-vaccine, but also an artist that I really loved had passed away. And so it was like celebrating his birthday too. And it was just like, oh man, my little emotional heart. Oh,
that is
God.
Crazy. Yeah. That just so many things. And there were, and then everybody just kind of phoned in, like FaceTimed in, and
it was was really cool.
What was your favorite? Who came in and did a, like, I know who Tom Petty is. I don't know who that other person is. The other concert you saw.
Oh, Ingrid?
She's
great.
She famous? Is she a big deal?
It's funny because I find that her and Sarah Bareilles are kind of in the same camp where they're both indie singer-songwriters that kind of came up around the same time. And they both also came from musical theater backgrounds too. So like did Waitress.
Yeah.
And then I got to remember Ingrid did a musical that she wrote she's doing? She's in the middle of writing The Notebook as a musical.
As a music, Ingrid Michaelson?
Yes.
There we go.
And then she was also in she was in a musical involving a comet. What was it called? Let me see. Makes her Broadway debut. Oh, The Great Comet of 1812. She was on Broadway in that too.
Oh.
I don't know that show, and I know a lot of musicals, and I'm like, huh?
They did a musical about a comet. Halley's Comet.
Who even knows?
Who knows?
We're running out of things to sing about, I guess.
What the heck, science. The stars. So, and then you saw a couple of live shows or?
Yeah, I actually got to knock off two people off my bucket list, which was really cool.
Oh, that's sweet.
One of them was the Avett Brothers, and I got to see them at a venue that was also on my bucket list, which was at Red Rocks out in Colorado in Denver.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And what, Avett, A-V-I-D, like the...
Avett, A-V-E-T-T.
Okay. Yeah. And what kind of music do they do?
They're like kind of folky, a little bit of rock, a little bit of like country. They're an interesting kind of like hybrid, and they've definitely... They're two brothers are the lead singers, and I think there's another family member in it too, and like they brought some of their family out on stage to sing with them too, and it was really cool.
When was that? Was that this year?
That was over the summer.
Okay. So this was this last 2021.
Yeah.
And summer, Colorado, Red Rocks is an outdoor venue.
It's an amphitheater. It's beautiful. Ugh.
Wow.
One of the most beautiful venues. It's very surreal because you also have to like hike up to it. And I had flown in that day and hadn't slept because I think I took an overnight. Hadn't slept. And then I had to hike up that like crazy mountain to get up there. Oh, I was a mess.
Oh, I bet you were a mess. Plus the altitude. And it turns out I love Denver with the power of the sun. And I love this comedy club. And I love everything about it. The audiences are amazing. I may have to come in a day early and not have a cold the next time I come to Denver.
Where are you at Cap City?
In Denver, I am in at Comedy Works.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Cap City was in Austin, Texas. And
oh, that's right. I always mix them up. Okay.
Yeah. And that was, did they have an opening band? Did it feel like old-timey concert? Did it feel like an old-school concert?
It did, especially because it was really cool because also it was outside. So it was, you know, everybody felt pretty safe because this was also pre-Omicron. It was like right around Delta, I think, but it was like kind of weaning. I know. It's like we're marking things now with variants in time.
Right. But it was a glorious 2 weeks when it was like pre-Delta, when we didn't even have to wear masks. And we're like, I think it's over. You guys think it's over? Yeah. So it was close. So it was kind of around that time.
Yeah, and there was an opener. I'm blanking on his name right now, but he was also very good. And that venue was just, especially as like the sun is hitting all those rocks. It's just so gorgeous. It really is.
It's so cool. Is it in the Rockies?
Right, yeah, like it's in like you're surrounded by stone. Like it's okay. And it's like built into the like side of it. It's really gorgeous.
Oh, that's cool. And you had never been before.
No, I've always wanted to go. I had dreams about going, so I was very excited.
That is really cool. That's outstanding. And what was the other one? What was the other live one you saw?
I finally got to see Alanis Morissette, and there I got to see her. Yeah, and she did her entire Jagged Little Pill album. It was amazing.
Is that the one about irony?
Yes, Jackie, there is a song about irony. Ironic is on there.
Only thing. And the only reason I know that is because of stand-up comic. Because people made fun of that song so bad. But I do. I like her voice. Her voice is very beautiful.
She's great. And like I went with Lisa Curry and the two of us were just crying like little millennial idiots. And she's like, this is why people won't go to concerts with me is because I cry the entire time.
Lisa Curry. Also has an previous episode of The Dork Forest about boats. Anyway.
Of course she does. Oh, my God.
She's from Indiana. She grew up around small boats.
Yep.
She was boat people. Anyway.
The best part, too, about that concert, Garbage opened, which was awesome.
Okay.
And the lead singer of Garbage was so angry at the crowd because at one point in the middle of one of their songs – somebody started batting around a beach because this was at the Hollywood Bowl. So it was an outdoor giant venue.
Yeah.
And somebody was batting around a beach ball and it like got onto the stage and she stopped the show and just ripped this guy a new asshole. And she was like, we put in thousands of hours of work for you and you don't even have the respect to like not throw something on stage. Grow the fuck up.
Oh my God.
It was pretty amazing. Everybody was cheering. It was so great.
Oh. That feels like finally musicians are like, no, we are literally working up here.
Yeah.
Don't have a conversation and go get a beer. Like watch the music. You know, watch the performance.
Yeah.
And that, good for her. What the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you're not at a rave. You know what I mean? Like, this is not.
Nobody put a CD on. Jesus.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, truly.
It's, I'm literally up here playing an instrument. Why don't you admire that?
Oh, and God, right?
It's like, I'm not going to play Marvel Puzzle Quest while I listen to a live band.
Oh yeah, it'd be like going to therapy and your therapist just playing Wordle as you're talking to them. You're like, hello.
You're not even concentrating on me. You're trying to think, what if it's not a rise? Anyway, so and then you also said that you went to the worst concert you've ever been to. That's amazing because you've been to hundreds of maybe thousands.
There's a reason that this is the worst, and it's not the artist's fault. It was what we didn't know that we signed up for. So over the pandemic from January of 2021 to July of 2021, I worked at a vaccination site. And I was there for 6 months working for CORE, which was the Sean Penn company that was a nonprofit to help distribute vaccines, and they did testing and all that. So as people were getting vaccinated and things were starting to come back, a Global Citizen decided to put on like the first concert post-pandemic. And so they put together this massive thing that was going to be recorded and televised, and they offered tickets for free to frontline workers, for like healthcare people. And we were like, hell yeah, this is amazing. Like a concert again. Like we haven't been to one in almost 2 years. Like everybody was so excited. And there, all these people were signed up. It was like Eddie Vedder and the Foo Fighters and Jennifer Lopez and like her and all these people. And then we get there and we were glorified extras. Like it was awful because each person was only doing like one song. Yeah. And half of the artists were pre-recorded. So they were on the flyer, but they weren't actually there. Right. They were just going to plug it into the like televised version.
Yeah.
And then the other people that were performing live, they had to keep flipping the set every time. So they would do one song and then take an hour to flip the set. And then somebody would do one song and then they would do that again. We were there for so long and they like didn't have any of the they didn't have any of the food, like the little like food court stuff. They didn't have anything open. They just had like lunch bags of like, here's a granola bar and a bottle of water. See you in 8 hours. What the fuck? We were like, this was supposed to be like a, hey, thanks for putting your life on the line. And instead it was like miserable.
It was like, so we're going to take advantage of you one more day.
Oh,
that is the worst. That's terrible.
It was so bad. I was like, this was not what I was expecting for my first concert back. Like,
Where was it?
Where was it? It was a big venue that was indoors. I can't remember. It was either the Forum or it was SoFi. It was one of those like big venues that.
In Los Angeles?
Yeah, it was in LA.
Yeah. Wow. What a drag. What a drag. And
so awful.
You're just like. You're
just and not only did they do that, but because they were going to televise it, they made us put all of our phones in yonder cases too. So we couldn't even have our phones during all this.
Oh no.
It was so bad.
No.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Denver Comedy Works usually does yonder cases and takes phones, but they're still doing QR codes and they're checking back things at the door and stuff. Though last night I was setting up, I have a very small amount of merch because nobody, I'm not going to give anybody COVID right now, but I also don't want to give anybody a cold.
Yeah. Right?
It's so funny about having this cold and everyone's like, no, you're still going to do shows, right? And I'm like, wait, if I had COVID, I wouldn't have to. And they're like, yeah, but it's just a cold. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of a shitty cold.
Yeah, nobody wants to be sick no matter what it is. Thank
right,
you.
And like, it's been 3 years since any of us have had a fucking cold. And it turns out they still suck, you guys. And so no yonder cases, but they're checking people's vax cards as they come in. And this one woman was having a tiny meltdown with her boyfriend or her husband or whatever. And she's like, I don't have mine. And I am such a meddler. I leaned over and I was like, they said there's a website. If you got it in Colorado, there's a website.
Yeah.
You can just go and it'll have record of it. And she's like, oh, really? Really? And I said, yeah, just ask the guy with the man bun. And so it all worked out, but I was like, we're all so tired of everything, right?
Yeah.
And we're all, it doesn't feel like it's ending. It just feels like it's dragging. And you know, when things drag, you get more impatient, you get less, you know, supportive in all these things. And I just want to try to remind people. And when I say remind people, I would like to remind myself, Valerie Tosse, to not be a dick. I'm like,
said from her humankind be both shirt.
right. You can't just wear this shirt. You have to actually be it if you're going to wear the damn shirt anyway.
That's so funny.
I know it. So those were the concerts. Those were the concerts of the last 2 years.
Yep.
Man. What was the worst concert you went to? Could you remember?
Previous to that, what was the worst concert I've ever been to? Let me think on that.
Okay.
I'll think on it and maybe I'll have one by the end because I need to look at my list of concerts because I'm like, what was the worst one that I ever went to?
And your other dorkdom, unless you wish to speak more of
music.
Your other dorkdom is so ridiculous. Also, when you think of it in a time of lockdown and COVID and all these things, your other dorkdom is dive bars.
I love them so much, Jackie.
I was weaned in a dive bar. So that's how I got my first solid food. I believe it was a maraschino cherry. Anyway.
That sounds about right. And that sounds like my childhood as well. Right. Everyone's like, you ate limes? I was like, yeah, I ate whatever was in the fruit tray.
Right. The fruit tray was right there. And my mother was busy drinking. So I had to eat something. Anyway, so. Dive. Okay. So by the way, Valerie Tosi, is spelled like you would imagine. TOSI is, and it's an underscore. And the new album is called Beach Trash. It's all a Massachusetts based. Was that your first dive bar, Massachusetts?
I think every 99% of bars in Massachusetts are dive bars, but like, I one of the ones on the list that I have was one in the town that I grew up in because I kind of grew up in two. I grew up in Lynn originally till I was like 10 or 11. Then we moved up north to Salisbury. And one of the ones I have on the list, it's technically a sports bar, but it's strong dive bar vibes. So I'm gonna call it a dive bar.
Let us define for those who this is not a chain. This is not.
No.
They people usually live above it. There's
sometimes there isn't even a door. It's just a curtain.
So do some descriptive of what you mean by it. What you mean by a dive bar?
Sure. First of all, cash only. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Most of them are cash only.
Right.
Sometimes they'll take a card, but usually not American Express or Discover.
Oh, and they're not going to take one. They are not psyched
either.
No,
they're very angry. They're like, we have an ATM in the back. And we're like, can't wait for all of my money to get stolen from this ATM. Okay. So cash only and nothing over $10. Get out of here. Nothing is over $10.
Right. And don't over tip. What are you showing off?
I know. we got the mayor in here. Oh, God. Small, dimly lit. We need both of those things. In fact, half the lights shouldn't even work if you try to put them on.
Right. Entertainment.
Live music sometimes. Sometimes a jukebox. And usually all the songs are from pre-2000.
Live music. That sounds a little fancier than a dive bar that I know about.
Not when it's a local band, Jackie.
That's true. Not when it's like four guys from high school who should not be in a bar.
Yep.
But they are free. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Weird, kitschy art, preferably taxidermy of animals that you never thought you would taxidermy.
Right.
Oh, we've killed Jackie.
That made me laugh, you guys. And go ahead.
I've seen taxidermied like squirrels and chipmunks and stuff, and I'm like, why?
I think you're just teaching yourself taxidermy at that point. That's that's what the bar owner is doing. So
I would like illegal betting or gambling also happens a lot. A lot of dice
games.
Oh, that
dice game. That rattle, 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 rattle down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're buying me a drink. Oh, I'm buying you a drink. All right. I don't even understand how that game works. Do you know how that game works?
I am usually drunk when I play, so I just hope that people hand me money when I roll the dice.
Oh, that is hilarious. So you don't even know what you're playing.
No. Oh, no. That's like, not the fun. That's because usually you're betting change or you're betting like a buck or something. It's not like people are slapping down Franklins, you know?
No. There's nobody has that kind of money.
Franklins. Also, that's a 20, Valerie. Jesus Christ, you are poor.
a Benjamin Franklin is a $100 bill.
Is it? Oh, I'm thinking of, I always forget who's on what. Ugh, just put a woman on and I'll care.
The Trail of Tears guys. guy, the horrible War of 1812.
I almost just choked on my coffee. Oh my God.
What? He was Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson.
I was like, Hamilton? I don't know. He died.
He was on the 10.
I don't know. Nobody. God, this is why I don't go on Jeopardy. I don't know basic
this is
info.
Why this is why
yeah
yeah yep. We would both need much more reason to not. We're not even close to Jeopardy,
not
anyway,
even close.
So okay, so what's the earliest memory of a dive bar?
Oh God, well, this particular
I did
one,
tell you to pick five of your favorites.
I did. But, I did. Yeah. Well, you said, yeah.
But I thought,
like, you're throwing me curveballs.
I'm throwing you curveballs. So, but what is, because, I mean, I grew up in a small factory town in Wisconsin. There, it is made up. It is literally built of dive bars. Kathy Benoit, her family owned a dive bar. My first kiss was a guy who drove me home when I was 13. He was 35 on the back of his Harley Davidson, and he just jammed his tongue into my mouth.
Jackie!
It was so gross. It was so foul. He reeked of cigarettes and beer, and I was like, you can't drop me off in front of my parents' house because
always
you're 35, and my mother was killed on a Harley Davidson. So anyway.
Oh, fuck.
And super glamorous, my childhood. Anyway. Top that, motherfucker. No, anyway, I'm so sorry.
You're like, hold on, let me tell you this real fucked up sad story real quick.
Guess what? We all lived. So.
Oh, my God. Okay, so the one that's in my hometown is called the Winner Circle. Oh, the irony.
Oh, the irony.
And it's
we
it's
have
actually
one called the Gourmet House.
Ooh,
chock
anything
full
but
of lettuce. Yeah, not.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Gourmet House. Would you like an iceberg wedge?
No wedge.
You're right. You're like, it's still wrapped in plastic. Okay, so the Winner's Circle is, like I said, it's kind of technically a dive bar, but they have multiple scratch ticket machines. They have pull tabs, which I love. They have multiple machines for pull tabs. They have Keno, which is a Massachusetts staple.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Love Keno. Love me some Keno. And then they have, it's cash only. It's mostly like, I'm trying to remember if they even have anything on tap. I think it's mostly bottled beer. And then they do have hard liquor. There's tons of Boston sports memorabilia everywhere. And that's where, so they do an open mic. I think it's supposed to be a book show, but it's an open mic, is upstairs on Tuesdays. And anybody that performs, they take a Polaroid of you and then stick it on the wall. So my dumb face is up there somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And then that, the Winner's Circle is where my brother had his cornhole league. Oh, yeah.
That
baby.
Is some sort of tossing. That's like a tossing
that is a bean
game.
Bag
a beanbag toss
yep.
game, right?
Yep.
What do they have? A pickled egg? Are they doing a pickled pig's feet? Are they doing any
they
kind
like,
of beef jerky?
They had a kitchen, but it was mostly like fried stuff. They would have like jalapeno poppers, mozzarella sticks, French fries, chicken fingers, like that type of stuff. You know, okay. The typical bar fare.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting. And were you introduced to the dive bar when you started doing stand up? Is that how you got into it?
No, I used to go a lot because they would do free pizza on a certain night. And so we never really had much money. So my mom would bring us on the night that they did free pizza. And so we would go. But I like didn't understand kind of like what was happening there at the time. And there's like a little arcade in there now, too, that has like a couple pinball tables and like, a
pool table and a couple of pinball machines.
Yeah.
Yeah. That actually sounds kind of fancier than, you remember Nick's bar in the second half of It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah.
Because they walk in, it's like, this is a drinking bar for working men who want to get drunk.
That's this place. It's, trust me when I tell you, it is a dive.
It is a dive.
It's a bunch of old timers and like,
Just everybody's
got their accents like this. That's
just career drunks sitting at the bar, solving the world's problems.
I love it so much. I go every time I'm home.
When I would come home from college, I would just walk. I'd be like, I'll be back. And I would just walk out and I'd walk, you know, the nearest bar from my house. And we were kind of on the, what used to be called Mortgage Hill. And that was not flattering. It meant that you had a mortgage. I don't understand why it wasn't flattering. But we walked, and about a half a mile, there would be the first of the dive bars, right, in South Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And I would just go there. And I had learned in college that you were to tip every time that you were given a – and I was just sitting at the bar having a couple of beers, and I would tip every time I got another beer. The beers were 75 cents. And because I'm 100 years old, remember?
Oh, the dream. The dream.
Yeah, there were Blatz. It was Schlitz. It was, I'm from
Blatz?
Yeah, Blatz. Blatz.
I've never heard of that before.
I don't think they make it anymore. I don't think they make Schlitz anymore either. But
no Schlitz they make. Schlitz is alive and well. Yep.
Yeah, and this was before Pabst had gotten its, like, bearded youth cred. So I it was like, I think a buck and a quarter. So what am I, Rockefeller? And so I would tip, and like the second time I tipped the bartender, a guy, a different career drunk sitting at the bar, leaned over and said, you don't tip every time. You tip when you leave a buck. And the bartender nodded. And I was like, all right. I didn't know.
What?
Yeah.
No, that's not what you do. Well, you're spreading misinformation.
It's misinformation being spread among factory workers in my tiny town.
I was going to say, the fact that the bartender agreed is wild to
me. Right. Completely amazing that the bartender agreed. Anyway, so that's your first one called Winners, and you go back.
Winners Circle. Yep. I will be there this coming week. <Can't wait. laughs> I'm going home. I'm in Boston next weekend, and so I can't wait to go home. I cannot wait.
Are you? What are you? Are you performing?
Yeah, I'm at the. There's a place in Manchester, New Hampshire called the Shasky. There's a new room called the Ruby Room. So I'm headlining that, and then I'm headlining at Hideout in Boston. Yeah.
Nice. Are you doing Hartford, Connecticut on that run?
I've never done Connecticut or Rhode Island. Because usually if I go, I'm usually kind of, well, my family just moved to Florida, but prior to that, it's like, you know, I kind of go and then I'm beholden to my family. I'm like lucky if I can sneak out for a couple shows. Yep. So, yeah.
So there you go. I believe they just added a Sunday in Hartford, Connecticut. So, something to look into.
Which club is it?
It's a one-nighter. So I was supposed to do it next month. I overcommitted myself. And so,
you never.
I know, hard to believe. So I literally had to cancel, and I felt bad about it. But I was also like, I'm super tired. I have to regroup here. Yeah. And so this might be a sign that I might have overcommitted the fact that I have a cold.
Yeah. Do you think so, Jackie? You've got a cold and altitude sickness, and yet here we are recording a podcast. And then I'm in another city to do shows. I'm like, what?
I know, and I have two shows tonight. And of course, I'll sell merch. Hey, Dum Dum, why don't you keep it together? Anyway, but then I have 2 weeks. I go to D.C., so I have like a week and a half, 2 weeks off. So that's the good news. And I will be sleeping a good portion of that time. So what's your next one?
All right. Ugh. We've got Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. This is in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Okay.
Uh-huh. It looks like a shack. If you just walked by it, you would have zero idea that it is a bar. In fact, on their website, when it says like how to find them, it literally just says, there's a lighted wreath in front. Good luck. It's what it says. It's amazing.
It's in Louisiana. It's in New Orleans proper.
It's in New Orleans. Yep.
Okay.
It looks like an abandoned shed.
Okay.
And a lot of Schlitz. Oh, God. I mean, maybe 20 people in there. And then there's like a little patio on the outside. That's, when I say patio, I mean concrete slab with some like folding chairs.
Right. That if you end up getting into a fight and breaking one there, you can get another one for $11. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of dogs sitting on chairs inside. It's pretty great.
Loose pretty dogs. Great. Okay, so there was a dive bar that I did a one-nighter in it had to be Fargo, or I think it was actually a town south of Fargo. And I had promised my brother that I would dog sit for him, so I had to bring the dog with me. And it was like January of 1996, 1995. And so me and Sparky get in.
Oh, I had a dog named Sparky.
me and Sparky. And so Sparky and I get in the Tercel and we drive there, and it is, you know, 12 degrees below zero without wind chill. So I can't leave him in the motel. And so I bring him to the bar, and I ask the bar owner, I was like, I can't leave the dog in the car. It's 12 below. And he goes, oh, bring the dog in. People love dogs. And so Sparky meets everybody at the bar. And the dog was a bigger hit than my stand-up, quite honestly. As you can imagine, because people fucking love dogs. And there was a guy who was like, where'd you get this dog? It's a great dog. And I was like, my brother got it at the pound. He's a pound dog. And he's a Springer Spaniel kind of mix. And super cutie magoo, that Sparky the dog. And a good sport, because my brother doesn't train dogs. So what you got to hope for is that you have a dog that'll listen.
Oh, God.
And Sparky was very polite. He wouldn't run away. He would come most of the time. but if you left any food out, he would eat it. So, because he was a dog. Anyway, but that dive bar was an interesting dog dive bar. And then there's a dive bar in Minneapolis that I never went to, but it didn't have any seating. It was only standing. They were like, come in, get drunk, stumble out. And if you brought them an AA chip, they would give you a free shot.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Not okay. Super.
Oh, my God.
Super douchebaggy. And I was like, well, that just seems mean. And he was just like, all right.
That's out of control. Wow.
Yeah.
Part of me was like, oh, somebody must have an ankle bracelet there and needs that chip to show to their goddamn, like, parole officer.
Ooh. That is an excellent point. You're probably correct.
Yeah, I need these chips. No reason.
No reason. All right. So what's your third one?
Keeping with the Christmas theme, there's a wonderful dive bar in Nashville, Tennessee called Santa's Pub.
Ooh.
And it is a double wide trailer.
What?
Yep. It is a double wide trailer, cash only. Their bar is literally just a big old timey fridge with beer, bottled beer. That's it. Christmas decorations everywhere.
All year long?
Yep. The owner looks like Santa, is called Santa, and it is a karaoke bar.
Oh my God.
Incredible.
That sounds like an incredible bar. This is the greatest tour. This is an incredible tour of some weird ass tiny bars in
Live
the world.
For this.
Now, why did you go there? Were you just traveling through?
It was that time. It was my first time ever going to Tennessee, and I was doing shows. It was like, I was a baby comic when I went there for the first time. It was like one of the first road gigs that I did was going out there, and it was I was just doing a bunch of like indie one-nighter shows. I think it might have even been the first time I technically headlined, but I didn't tell anybody that.
Right.
And
sure. Has to be a first time.
Yep. Fake it till you make it, baby.
That's it. You will not get headliner work until you tell somebody that you are a headliner. Mm-hmm. And then and then you do the 45 minutes, and then guess what? You're a headliner.
Yeah.
So, and then you get better. And then you get better at it. So that's the only way.
Yep. That one, yeah, that place is rad. I love that spot. It's so great.
That's super cool. Yep. All right. Next one.
I decided to do a local one to LA in case there's anybody that's listening that's there. Blipsy Bar. Have you ever been?
No. Where's that?
It's on Western. It's technically
everything should be on Western. If you're in Hollywood, it should be on Western. If you're in the Valley, it should be on San Fernando.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's technically I don't know if it's technically East Hollywood or Koreatown. It's like kind of right in that weird in between.
Right.
And it's on Western, cash only, one of those ones that literally there's just a curtain for a door. And no website, no web presence. And there's There's horribly maintained retro vintage arcade games in there.
Okay.
They're beat to shit.
Yeah.
And it smells like laundry detergent and mold, and I love it.
Oh, wow. Do you ever go during the day?
Oh, that's the best time to go.
Right, because that's the thing about a date. About, I remember, and I told this story, I think, on one of my albums, is that it was a Sunday. I was staying with my sister for the winter. So I must have been 20. I must have just graduated from college. And it was a Sunday. Her and her partner were like reading the New York Times and engaging in adult things. And I was like, I'm going to go look for a video game and a beer on a Sunday afternoon. And so I walk to, I just wander around. They're on the north side of Milwaukee. So I just wander around and I walk into a dive bar that has the Packer game going. And they have some video games. And so I'm playing video games and I'm drinking beers. And it's like, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. All of a sudden it's 11 p.m.
Oh my God.
And I am best friends with the career drunks, right? That are sitting at the bar. We've been in this for 9 hours. We're in it for the duration here. I've actually switched shifts. Like there's been different shifts at these
oh my
stools.
God.
And so there was an old guy there, like early 70s. I was probably 23. And he was like, it's 11 o'clock. He's like, hey, do you want to go somewhere and keep drinking? And I was like, yeah, totally. And so we get into he has like a Cadillac. And he's 74, 73 years old. We drive somewhere. I don't know where we are anymore. And we go to a bar. We drink there for another like couple of hours till like 2. And then I was like, I got to go home. And he's like, all right, I'll drive you. So we get back in his car.
I can't believe you got back in that car. Oh my God.
And he hits on me and he's like, and I'm like,
oh my God.
This seems unlikely. And, but then he gives me the sad stack story. He's like, he's how old he is and how long it's been and how sad he is and how lonely he
no.
is.
Mm-hmm.
And all I remember thinking to myself, even though I'm not blackout drunk, I'm just super drunk, right? And I just think to myself, well, I could fuck him. It wouldn't kill
me. Jackie! Oh my God.
I think I'm a good sport, Valerie Tosse.
Jackie, anyway. The fact that you made it this far into adulthood is wild.
Right.
To
the
me.
Fact that I wasn't killed at any number of times. Yes. Well, that's the thing about dive bars is that they lend themselves to being killed. Except for that you're usually surrounded by a bunch of just career drunks who are like, no, I just have a drinking problem. Anyway, so
oh my God.
And I tell this story on one of the albums. I put my hand on his leg. At no time do I touch the little veteran of the big war.
Oh, and, my, oh my God, my skin is crawling right now.
And he came. He literally came. And then we drive to his apartment where he has to change his pants. And then I walk out into the night because he doesn't have any more booze. So I walk into the night at like 2:33 in the morning. And if I remember correctly, I believe I had sex with an Ethiopian grad student that night. And all
no, I like how you were like, I can't believe you're going to talk about dive bars, you little dirtbag. And then here we are, and you're like, all I did was touch his thigh, and he came. And then I went and fucked some grad student. And I'm like, I talked about dogs sitting at the bar.
I'm trying to encourage you to tell me a story where you took your life into your own hands here, Tosse. I've got a dozen of them, sadly. But I lived. Right. There's one in Massachusetts. There's all kinds of dive bars. Right. I lived in Provincetown for 3 summers. If I would have stayed, that would have just been a commitment to just you might as well just lock me up. But
it would have been your last summer is what.
Oh,
it would
my
have
God.
Been. Oh, my God.
There is a like it's called like that. I was next to the surf club. I worked at a hot dog stand next to one of the only there's like 3 straight bars in P-Town. And the surf club was one of the straight bars, and they had a jug band, and the hot dog stand was attached to it. And so when you worked at the hot dog stand, you could drink for free as long as you weren't working the window. if you were a fry cook.
And if you worked at the hot dog stand, you could drink for free.
But you couldn't start till noon, Valerie. And
Well, thank God. We've got to lay down the law here for the hot dog stand workers. Jesus Christ.
And around the corner, there's like a dive bar that is just, I don't know what the hell it was called, like Ink or something, whatever. It had some sort of Massachusetts like theme.
Oh yeah. Oh, listen. In Newburyport, where like, the neighboring town from where I'm from, it's literally like the Grog is one of them. The other one is the Thirsty Whale. Okay. And it was literally, it was kind of like an unspoken. They would call it the Thirsty Male because like a lot of gay guys would go.
Oh.
And oh my God. So yeah, all of they're all like just stupid New England names, and I love every second of it. Ugh.
And it's always, you always meet interesting people. You know, do you like when
interesting is a polite word? Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, so next week you'll go home. Will you see some people from high school?
So I'm staying with my best friend who I did go to high school with. She actually was the makeup artist and photographer of the artwork for my album.
Oh, there you go. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm. Darielle Rose, big shout out. We've been friends since we were 14. She's the best.
Excellent.
And so I'm ZL see her for
and,
sure, yeah.
And Beach Trash is available on all the things. Yeah. Is it still on Spotify? Spotify has their head up their ass right now.
I know. It is still on Spotify for now, okay. As, you know, because I just kind of let my label kind of handle all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But did you see, too, that Joe Rogan's thing with Spotify is now at 200 million instead of 100 million?
Money or?
Uh-huh. Yeah, now they're paying him double what they were paying him. And
wow.
Oh, but then Chappelle got four special Netflix deal that just got announced, I think, like yesterday, the day before. But you guys,
they're canceled.
They're so canceled. They're so canceled. What are we going to do?
They're going to have to live check to check, poor thing. One $200 million dollar check to the next $200 million
check. Oh, God. Oh, God.
That's
I
so
hope
weird.
He can eat.
Right. Exactly. I hope. Do they have kids? Do either of them have kids?
I don't believe so. I know Chappelle's married, but I don't think he has kids. I don't think.
All right.
And then I don't know if Rogan's married, but I don't think he has kids.
Okay. Well, yeah. Whatever it is, that's dumb. And Spotify is dumb. And feel free to cancel your subscription to Spotify. All of my albums most of them are gone from Spotify.
And I think your new one's on there, though, right?
The current Staycation is on there.
Yeah.
But you can listen on Pandora, Amazon, YouTube.
Bandcamp.
Bandcamp, iTunes. They're everywhere else. And you could buy the CD and DVDs on my website until I am out of my original CD, which was called Circus People. I self-published on CD Baby. So they literally just emailed me and said, we have an overstock of your hard copies of Circus People. We'd love to send you some back. And that was the standardized sentences. Mm-hmm. They had one copy of it, and they wanted to send it back because they have.
Why don't they just throw it away? That's crazy to me.
Right? I was like, sure, you can send me the one hard copy of Circus People back. So they sent it back to me. They're like, that'll be $3.48.
It literally sounds like a bitter ex. I have your CD. I want to send it back.
But
oh God,
do you have any more
dive bars?
Yeah,
I got one more.
Let's
I got one
it.
More for you. This one.
Oh, we're doing perfect here. Well, we might come in a little bit shy, but that's fine. I have a cold anyway, but because we're dork foresting with Valerie Tosse, you guys, and it's called Beach Trash, and you should find it and then go see her next weekend this weekend in Boston. And do it.
So the last one I have for you is in Fort Collins, Colorado, because I love me the Comedy Fort.
Oh my God. That is
it's
a
so
new
great.
Comedy club in Fort Collins. Yep.
The best. David Rodriguez is such a good idea. Such a good job with the club. It's
he really
amazing.
Is. Yeah. He's doing amazing.
But the bar is called the Town Pump. Now, let me just quickly say that it is not what it sounds like, because I was like, that's a hilarious name for a dive bar. But I went to their, I went to go to their website, Deadlink, of course, already nailing the prerequisites for a dive bar. But I did find that there was a little bit of info. So it was, this bar was established, it's coming up on its anniversary, February 26th of 1909. And yes, wow. So over 100 years old. And apparently that the history behind the bar's name is that the original streets downtown, there was a manual water supply there for all the horse and buggies.
Okay.
And so that's kind of where they would turn the buggies around at, and they would swing their horses into the water trough, and they used to refer to it as the town pump.
The town pump.
That's why.
So that's why.
Mm-hmm. But they sell Jell-O shots for a dollar. Oh, go, your girl is there and has gotten very sick at that bar.
That is so gross, Jell-O shots.
Oh my God, it's so fun though.
Is our Jell? When? How do we make Jell-O shots? Do you know? Have you ever tried to make a Jell-O shot?
I'm sure I have at some point in college that I don't know. Listen, I made vodka melons in college. I'm sure I made Jell-O shots.
Right. Now, what is a vodka melon? Because I would think that
when you like drill a little hole and you pour a whole bottle of vodka in it and then you let it sit and then you drink the stuff that's inside and you eat the fruit and get very drunk off eating watermelon.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Infused,
if you will. Infused, if you will. So Jell-O shots, I assume you're using vodka instead of water with like prepackaged Jell-O.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. And a bucket.
I don't ask questions. I just stick my finger in, swirl it around, and then glug, glug, glug.
Oh my God. You only have cherry? I want an orange. Anyway, so wow, Jell-O shots.
Yep.
And how many
pretty great.
How many does that seat?
Oh God, maybe 20. It's very tiny.
Okay.
There's like two tables that are up against the wall with like a wooden bench, and then there's maybe like 7 bar seats. It's small.
Okay. And is there, is it on that main street in Fort Collins?
Or
is
it? Yeah, it's across the street from the fort, but like a block or two down.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Wow. Because Fort Collins is kind of hipstery for sure.
It's so cute. I love it.
Yeah. It's adorable. And wow. I don't know. See, the thing is what you have given us here, and I thank you for it, Valerie, is a tour of some kind of cool dive bars, like ones mm-hmm. that have cool names. They're in cool cities. They're in, you know, they have some chops to them while also being a place where people can just give up. And because that is what a dive bar is for.
That's the only thing they're not giving up is drinking.
No, they're not giving up drinking. They're literally just going to be like, well, I could stay inside and drink, but I'm a social animal. So I'm going to step out alone and go to a bar and talk to Eddie. Eddie's behind yep. the bar. He's there. You know, he needs to make a dollar. And so...
so funny. I have a bonus one that's technically... I guess you can't really call it a dive bar because it's a speakeasy. It's literally, it's in Texas. I won't say where because I don't want to give up anybody's spot because it's for comedians only. And it is literally, it's an apartment that they converted into a speakeasy.
It's genuinely a speakeasy.
It's literally
illegal
a speakeasy.
Bar.
It is an illegal, yeah. It's amazing. Like there's an ATM in there because they have dice games and stuff.
What?
There's a sign in there that says LA comics pay LA prices, which is hilarious
that
to me.
That is hilarious.
Cash only. There's a bunch of taxidermy and there is a live scorpion that lives there it's housed, but there is
right.
a live scorpion that's there.
There was a dive bar in Phoenix, Arizona that Steve Mandel got me a gig at, and it was just a one-nighter, and they had, it was an aquarium, but it was all one row. It was a long row aquarium with goldfish in it, and you could shoot water pistols into it to make the goldfish race each other because they were stacked on top of each other. And it was, yeah, that was a pretty divey bar.
Oh, my God.
The first dive bar, did you remember your first dive bar yet?
Oh, shit. Probably, I guess, one of the ones that when I was in college, there was a bar called... It was either Charlie's or O'Charlie's. I can't remember which one it was.
Well, one of them is royalty. Yeah.
But that, oh God, that one was a dive bar, and it was definitely like a college dive bar. And I just remember that I would only, oh God, I would only drink Parrot Bay rum and Diet Coke with a lime. So gross.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, the first dive bar was the one that my mother used to hang out at when I was a baby. And I would sit and spin and eat maraschino cherries at Frenchie's, which was right by the railroad tracks. It was not right by the railroad tracks. In South Milwaukee, there was a dive bar that was right by the railroad tracks that at least twice a year, people would get hit by trains.
Oh my God.
They would stumble out of the bar and onto the track and zam.
Oh, and, fuck.
Right. It was pretty bad. And that bar's still there. As a matter of fact, I don't know if they've fixed it, if there's fencing, if anyone has decided to take, I don't know, the mayor might have run on that.
Your ability to drop horrific stories is truly unparalleled, Jackie.
And we've just scratched the surface. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been Valerie Tosse here on the Dork Forest. Let me say this. Thank you so much for being on the show, Valerie.
Thanks for having me, even in your moment of uncomfortableness.
Yeah, what the heck? It's up to the Rangers to listen to this weird, scratchy voice. And maybe Patrick can sample one of my coughs and then remove it from the whole shebang. Right? He has his bad audio chops. Anyway, Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?